In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. We will study tonight chapter 25 from the book of Acts. Just to give you introduction to the chapter, the Jews wanted to kill St. Paul. So, he was arrested and was presented to a trial before the governor, whose name was Festus. And although Festus did not find any crime with St. Paul to deserve death penalty, but he did not release St. Paul because he wanted to make a favor for the Jews. And his term ended, so another governor replaced him, and his name was Felix. Sorry, actually I confused both. Felix was the governor, the first governor, whose term was ended, and then he was replaced by Festus. So, St. Paul was tried before Felix, and Felix, in order to leave a favor or to make a favor with the Jews, he did not release St. Paul, although he didn't find any guilt or any crime with St. Paul deserving this penalty. And after his term ended, another governor came, and whose name was Festus. So, in this chapter, we will know how St. Paul was tried before Festus, and then why St. Paul appealed to go to Caesar in Rome. That's the first part of the chapter. The second part of the chapter, a hearing session before King Agrippa. And who was King Agrippa? And how there is a king and also there is a governor in the same time. So we will understand about the political structure and why there was a king and a governor in the same time. That's what we'll study tonight in chapter 25 from the book of Acts. Let's start reading verse by verse. Now when Festus had come to the province, after 3 days, he went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem. So actually, after Festus was appointed, and his seat or his headquarters was in Caesarea. But shortly after his appointment, he went to Jerusalem. Actually, 3 days after he went to Jerusalem. Why? Festus was a ruler that had very little information about the Jews. So when he was appointed, he wanted to understand about the Jews, their culture, their tradition, their issues, their concern, their interests. Because how can he become a governor of this nation and he doesn't know anything about them? And Jerusalem was the holy city, the city in which all the Jews actually are living. That's why 3 days after his appointment as a governor, he went from Caesarea to the Jews, to Jerusalem. Why? In order to find more about the people he was about to rule. Verse 2. Then the high priest and the chief men of the Jews informed him against Paul, and they petitioned him. During this visit to Jerusalem, there was a case, the case of St. Paul. And this case was not closed yet, because as I told you, Felix did not close this case. So the high priest and the leaders of the Jewish nation informed Festus about St. Paul and about this case. And actually, they petitioned to him. They asked a favor from him. What was this favor? The favor was to bring St. Paul to Jerusalem and they will kill him. They will kill him on the road. That's actually the petition. As we read it in verse 3. Asking a favor against him, that he would summon him to Jerusalem while they lay in ambush along the road to kill him. So they told him, just all what you need to do, just send him for a trial. Don't tell him that we will kill him. And on the road, we will kill St. Paul. Actually, if you remember, in the book of Acts, two chapters before, chapter 23 and 22, we find that 40 men made a vow that they will not eat or drink until they kill St. Paul. So, they had this desire of retaliation to kill St. Paul. And this desire, 2 years later, did not go away. This desire to retaliate from St. Paul, although St. Paul did not do anything to harm them, but this desire did not go away. And we can see here some differences between how they presented the case to Felix and how they presented the case before Festus. When they presented the case to Felix, they brought orator, spokesman with them, like attorney, and his name was Tertullus. And he made a speech before Felix. But this time, the chief priests and only the leaders, they went to Festus asking him to do a visit. Maybe because he just knew, and as a new governor, he doesn't want to disappoint the people. So they assumed that he will accept their petition and will send St. Paul to Jerusalem to be killed. And we can see how this hatred in their hearts did not change. After 2 years from the former attempt to kill St. Paul, they are still hating St. Paul and they want to kill him. But Festus apparently was wise and just, but of course not perfect. That's why he did not agree. He did not agree on their petition, as we read in verse 4. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, and that he himself was going there shortly. So he told them, no, I will not bring St. Paul here. Because he knew their desire, their plan. Their plan was to kill him. So he said, no. Actually, I will keep him to Caesarea, in Caesarea, and I will go shortly to Caesarea, and I will see the case. I will open the case once again. And if you, the chief priests and the leaders, if you want to come with me to Caesarea to do another trial for St. Paul, actually you can come with me. As we read in verse 5, therefore he said, let those who have authority among you go down with me and accuse this man to see if there is any fault in him. So apparently, he did not just accept their accusation against St. Paul, and he said, I will do a fair trial for St. Paul. So you come with me And if you have any accusation against him, tell me. And if there is something that he did deserve death, then we can put him to death. And here actually, we can see how God is protecting St. Paul. He spoke in the heart of Festus not to deliver St. Paul to their hands. And he actually showed justice and wisdom. This reminds me with what's written in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1, that the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. He directs it like a water course wherever he pleases. So the heart of the king is in the hands of God. And God will direct the heart of the king in the right direction, or as pleases God. Sometimes God will allow the king actually to discipline the people. Why? Maybe because God is using the king as a tool to discipline the people, to bring them back to him, or to lead them to repentance. Or even if the king planned to kill someone, if this is not the economy of God, that will protect the person. As we know in the story of King Saul with David. King Saul wanted to kill David, but God protected David in spite of the hatred that was in the heart of King Saul. So here the protection came from God. God protected St. Paul. And actually God said to St. Paul, you will witness for me in Rome. So God actually will execute this plan, will send St. Paul to Rome, as we will see in this chapter, how St. Paul will go to Rome to witness for the Lord there. Verse 6. And when he had remained among them in Jerusalem more than 10 days, he went down to Caesarea. And the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, he commanded Paul to be brought. Apparently, Festus was also a very punctual governor. Once he went to Caesarea, on the next day, he opened the case of St. Paul. And this actually a good thing to learn in our life. How we should not postpone tasks to the last minute. Some people procrastinate to the last minute. But here Festus, as a governor, he had a task, so actually he accomplished the task. He arrived at Jerusalem, Caesarea, so on the next day he opened the case of St. Paul. And here actually it is interesting how the prophecy about St. Paul that we read it in Acts chapter 9 was literally fulfilled. God said to Ananias, the apostle who baptized St. Paul, God said to Ananias in Acts chapter 9, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings, before the people of Israel. And actually, yes, St. Paul carried the name of Christ before the Gentiles because he preached among many churches of the Gentiles. And he stood before kings. He stood before the Festus, the governor, before Felix, before Agrippa, and for Augustus Caesar. And also before the people of Israel, St. Paul went to many synagogues and actually preached in these synagogues to the Jews. So the word kings, which is plural, not one king, but kings, actually was fulfilled also literally, as the Lord said to Ananias, who baptized Saint Paul. Verse 7, when he had come, Saint Paul had come, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood about and laid many serious complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. Apparently, if we remember what are the complaints that they made against Saint Paul before Felix, they complained that Saint Paul actually blasphemes against the temple, against the law of Moses, against the king Caesar, and is dividing the nation and causing trouble and disturbance among the nation of the Jews. But they could not prove any of these accusations, neither before Felix nor before Festus. That's why St. Paul, in short, replied against all these accusations. As we read in verse 8, while he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar, I have offended in anything at all. So St. Paul said, no, all these accusations are false accusations. I didn't blaspheme or I didn't do anything wrong against the temple, against the Jews, against Caesar, against the law of Moses. No, I did not offend at all. And Festus, as I told you, as a new governor, yes, he was wise, he was fair, but also as a new appointed governor, he doesn't want to disappoint the Jews. So he wants to do a favor for them, as we read in verse 9. But Festus, wanting to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and there be judged before me concerning these things? So now St. Paul starts to consider the petition, although he knew very well if he sent him to Jerusalem, what would happen to him? They will kill him on the road. But here Festus tried to please the Jews, tried to do a favor for them, asking St. Paul, so are you willing to go to Jerusalem to be tried before me there in Jerusalem? And St. Paul knew very well that there was a plan to kill him on the road. If you remember that the nephew of St. Paul heard about this plan, and he went to the commander and told him there is a plan to kill St. Paul on the road. That's why the commander actually took St. Paul from Jerusalem and sent him to Caesarea. That's why St. Paul refused When Festus asked him whether you want to go to Jerusalem or not, St. Paul refused. And actually he told him, Paul said, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you know very well. St. Paul explained that he doesn't fear death, as we read in the following verse. And if he did anything deserves death, he would accept the punishment. But if there is nothing he did, and they could not prove anything against him, they could not prove any of these false accusations, then why he would go there? Nobody can deliver him to their hands. And Festus, in order to please the Jews, he did not make a decision regarding the case of St. Paul. Actually, he would release the right decision would be to release them Paul freely, because there is no any accusation against him. But he did not release him or condemn him. And St. Paul refused to go to Jerusalem. But let me answer this question. Why Festus asked St. Paul, why he did not command or ordered St. Paul to go to Jerusalem? As a governor, maybe this is in his authority, but no. Festus knew that St. Paul had the Roman citizenship. So, by citizenship, he is a Roman. And as a Roman, he has the right to appeal even to the emperor in Rome. That's why he cannot command St. Paul to go there. He has to ask him. So he asked St. Paul whether you want to go there or you don't want to go there. And St. Paul actually used his right as a Roman citizen, and he appealed to go to Caesar in Rome. And he said to Festus, I will be tried before the judgment seat of Caesar, where I ought to be judged. Where he said, where I ought to be judged. Because it's as if he is saying, there is no justice here. If you are a just judge or a governor, you would release me. But now, because you are not just, and you want just to please the Jews, I'm appealing to go to Caesar. Actually, it was the Roman law. In order to protect the Roman citizens from unjust governors, they give the Romans, any Roman citizen, the right to go and appeal their case before Caesar himself in Rome. And actually, St. Paul hinted that Festus was not just and fair when he told to him, I did nothing against the Jews, as you know very well. He told him, as you very well know. So, now you know very well I didn't do any offense deserving this. Why you did not release me? So, the right place to be tried will be before Caesar. I'm appealing to go to Caesar. Verse 11. For if I am an offender, or have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying. But if there is nothing in these things of which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar. And actually, here St. Paul has a very, very high sense of responsibility. He did something wrong. If he did something wrong, he is willing to take the punishment. Many times when we do something wrong and then we start to reap the consequences of what we did wrong, we get disappointed. And sometimes we blame God. Blame God of harshness. Why he did not protect me? Although I am reaping what I am doing. So St. Paul had a high sense of responsibility, and he said, actually, if I did something wrong, I will accept death. I will accept dying. Also, St. Paul answered a question many of us sometimes we ask, should we defend our rights or should we accept injustice? Actually, there is nothing wrong to defend your rights. Nothing wrong in defending your rights. But at the end, if unfair or unjust decision was made against you, also as Christian, we will accept it after we defend our rights. We will accept it knowing that there is no justice here on earth. And as the Lord told us, blessed are you when they persecute you and accuse you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly happy. So the balance here is, yes, nothing wrong in defending my rights and take all the legal channels to defend my rights. Nothing wrong with that. St. Paul actually took a legal channel by appealing to Caesar to defend his rights. But at the end, actually, Nero commanded that St. Paul be beheaded. And St. Paul accepted this unfairness and injustice, and accepted to be a martyr for the name of the Lord. So St. Paul said to Festus that nobody has the right to deliver me to the hands of the Jews to kill me. And as a Roman citizen, I'm appealing my case to Caesar. This reminds us with the vision that St. Paul saw when the Lord appeared to him in Acts 23, verse 11. The Lord said to St. Paul, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome." And I'm sure these words in the heart of St. Paul made him comfortably appealing to go to Rome. Because the Lord told him, be of good cheer, you will go to Rome. But he's going to Rome, yes, to defend his rights, but also for another mission, to bear witness to the Lord. As the Lord told him, you also must bear witness for me at Rome. So St. Paul actually was fulfilling this prophecy or this promise from God. Then actually we should answer another question. Who preached Christianity in Rome? St. Peter or St. Paul? It's clear it is St. Paul who preached Christianity in Rome. God told him, you will bear witness to me at Rome. And St. Paul went to Rome. And as we read in chapter 28, that for 2 years, while he was under house arrest, he preached Christ to the people in Rome. Also, he wrote a letter to the Romans. And I remember His Holiness Pope Shenouda told us that when he visited Rome, he asked one of the cardinals a simple question. Who preached Christianity to Rome, Paul or Peter? So actually, in order to be politically correct, so the cardinal answered Pope Shenouda and told him both of them. Because we know it is St. Paul, the one who preached Christianity in Rome. And here actually God will send St. Paul to Rome in 3 trips and also escorted by the Roman military. St. Paul will not pay for this trip when he goes to Rome, and also he will be escorted by the Roman military escort. That's how God plans for his servant and how God actually executes his plan and his promises. Verse 12. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, "You have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you shall go." With every governor, there is a group of counselors around him to give him guidance. Especially, Festus was a new appointed governor. And as I told you, he doesn't know a lot about the Jews. That's why he consulted with the council to get their advice, and they advised him to approve the appeal of St. Paul and to send him to Caesar. That's why he told him, you have appealed to Caesar, you shall go. If this is actually commanded St. Paul to go to Jerusalem, he will be in violation of the Roman law. Because the Roman law, as I told you, gives any Roman citizen the right to appeal to Caesar himself. That's why he wants to please everybody. He wants to please the Jews by not releasing St. Paul. And also he wanted to please St. Paul by sending him to Caesar, by approving his appeal. And thus he will present himself as a fair and a wise governor. Verse 13, and after some days, King Agrippa and Bernice came to Caesarea to greet Festus. Who is King Agrippa? Agrippa, actually, the purpose of this visit is to meet the new Roman appointed governor, Festus, to greet him, to congratulate him of this new position. That's why they came, King Agrippa, with his wife. But who is King Agrippa? Actually, his full name is King Herod Agrippa II. Herod Agrippa II. He is the grandson of King Herod the Great. King Herod the Great is the one, actually, who was ruling during the time of the birth of Jesus, who killed all the children of Bethlehem. This King Herod the Great. His father, his son, the son of Herod the Great, actually his name is Herod Agrippa the First. And Herod Agrippa the First is the one actually who killed John the Baptist. Who killed John the Baptist. And when he died, Herod King Agrippa the First, his son, King Agrippa, about whom we are talking right now, he was 17 years old. And because he was young, he cannot be appointed as a king. That's why they appointed governors, like Governor Felix and Governor Festus. And he still was in education in Rome, because he was 17 years old, and he was very young to rule Judea and Jerusalem at this time. So, in order to resolve this situation, a Roman governor was appointed over the province of the Jews. And when King Agrippa grew in age, he was given the right to oversee the temple in Jerusalem, to appoint the high priest, and also he was giving a small kingdom to rule over it in the modern Lebanon right now. So this family actually is not a very godly family, because this family killed the children in Bethlehem during the time of the birth of Jesus. Also, they killed John the Baptist. Herod, his father, killed James the Apostle, as we read in Acts chapter 12. So they killed many apostles and innocent children and prophets like John the Baptist. And his wife, Bernice, is the sister of Drusilla. Drusilla was actually the wife of the Felix, the previous governor. As I told you, Festus followed Felix. The wife of Felix and the wife of Agrippa were sisters. Wife of Felix, her name is Drusilla, as we read in chapter 24, and the wife of Agrippa, Bernice, and both are sisters. Also, you'll be surprised to know that Bernice is a half-sister of Agrippa. So Agrippa actually is married to his half-sister, to his stepsister. Agrippa was an expert in Jewish religion. And because of this, he was consulted with one of the counselors who gave idea or advice concerning the Jewish religion. And most of the Jews in Jerusalem knew that Agrippa was consulted in issues pertaining to their religion and to their faith. That's why St. Paul, when he knew he would stand before King Agrippa, he was very happy. Why he was very happy? In his mind, if he preached Christianity to Agrippa, and Agrippa accepted Christianity and became Christian, then actually this can make many Jews convert to Christianity. And as we will see in the next chapter, how St. Paul was very happy to know that he would stand before King Agrippa, and he challenged him. He told him, "Do you know the prophets? I know you know the prophets." So if Agrippa was converted, it will be actually a great opportunity that Christianity would be accepted in Jerusalem and among the Jews. So at that time, Agrippa has no political power, but he was a ceremonial king, honorary king, but with no political power. And he came with his wife just to greet Festus and to congratulate him on his new position. Verse 14, when they had been there many days, Festus laid Paul's case before the king, saying, "There is a certain man left a prisoner before Felix." Again, why Festus actually get King Agrippa involved here in the case of St. Paul? Actually, for many reasons. As I told you, King Agrippa considered a consultant in Jewish religion. So he consulted him. And also, Festus wanted to please the Roman empowerment. So, when he takes all the steps that he approved the appeal of St. Paul, he presented him before King Agrippa. He did not deliver him to Jerusalem. And he asked St. Paul whether he accepted this or not. So before the Roman Empire, he would present himself as a fair and just governor. Also, this will please St. Paul, in the same time will please the Jews. So he started to inform Agrippa about the case of St. Paul. He told Agrippa, "There is a certain man left a prisoner by Felix," verse 15, "about whom the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me when I was in Jerusalem, asking for a judgment against him." So he told King Agrippa that the chief priests and the elders told me about St. Paul, and they want me to make a judgment by sending St. Paul to Jerusalem, and they will kill him on the road. So they asked Festus actually to make a judgment against St. Paul. Verse 16, and focus on this verse, how he wants to justify himself, how he wants to present himself as a fair governor. He said to them, I answered, it is not the custom of the Romans to deliver any man to destruction before the accused meets the accuser face to face and has the opportunity to answer for himself concerning the charge against him. So here actually, when you read this verse, Festus, what he is emphasizing here, how fair he was, how just he was. He did not actually accept their petition. And he told them, no, as Romans, we don't do this. We respect human rights. So the accused should confront you face to face, and he should have an opportunity to defend himself, and we will see if there is anything deserving this he did or not. Verse 17. Therefore, when they had come together, without any delay, the next day I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought in. I want also you to focus on the word, without any delay, the next day. Again, he wants to present himself here as a man of accomplishment, you know. He does not postpone. He does not procrastinate. You know, he makes a decision. On the next day, without delay, I brought everybody in order to discuss this case. Upon Festus return to Caesarea, he had St. Paul come before him on the judgment seat. Verse 18, when the accusers stood up, they brought no accusation against him of such things as I supposed. So, actually Festus now is giving his opinion. I didn't find any true accusation against St. Paul. He did nothing wrong. There, yes, as he said in verse 19, but had some questions against him about their own religion and about a certain Jesus who had died, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. So he's saying here that I didn't find anything wrong. He did not do any crime deserving death. But everything is about the religion, about questions regarding their faith, and about Jesus. The Jews said he died, and St. Paul, he said, no, he's alive. So he didn't find anything significant. And the question here to Festus, why didn't you release St. Paul if you didn't find anything actually significant? Why you did not release him? Verse 20, and because I was uncertain of such questions, I asked whether he was willing to go to Jerusalem and there be judged concerning this matter. But now he is not saying the whole truth, because they told him, if you send him to Jerusalem, we will lie in wait for him and we will kill him. But he didn't say this. Because if he said the whole truth, he will be at fault. How you ask him to go to Jerusalem and you know very well they will kill him on the road to Jerusalem. So here, what I'm trying to say, Festus was trying just to justify himself, to present himself as a fair, just, wise governor. But in reality, he should not ask St. Paul whether he wants to go to Jerusalem or not, because he knew very well that the chief priests and the Jewish people will kill St. Paul if he sent him to Jerusalem. Verse 21, but when Paul appealed to be reserved to the decision of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I could send him to Caesar. So, as I told you, Festus tried to say there is no serious complaint about or accusation about St. Paul. Just I was uncertain about all these accusations regarding their religion, and I want to send him to Jerusalem, but he appealed to Caesar. But he named Caesar here Augustus, because the Roman emperor had many titles. The title are Caesar, Augustus, Imperator, and from the word Imperator came the word Emperor. So he accepted the petition of St. Paul, and he told him, apparently Caesar or the Emperor would see the prisoners at certain time in the year. That's why he kept him till the time will come. Verse 22, then Agrippa said to Festus, I also would like to hear the man myself. Tomorrow, he said, you shall hear him. Why Agrippa told him, I want to hear the man? As I told you, Agrippa was a consultant in Jewish religion, in Judaism. That's why he want to hear him. Maybe this will increase his knowledge, will add something to his knowledge. And as a consultant, he should be aware of all what's going on. But also, out of curiosity, he wants us to hear Agrippa, hear St. Paul, out of curiosity. And Festus told him, tomorrow you will hear him. Unfortunately, some of us, until now, we do like Agrippa. We hear the word of God, we come to the church, we hear sermons, and many times just won't be there. Not interested in true transformation or true change in our life, but just as a custom, as a habit. Because when Paul challenges Agrippa to be Christian, Agrippa actually refused. As we read in the next chapter. So he just wanted to listen to St. Paul out of curiosity, not to seek the truth about Judaism and Christianity. And unfortunately, as I said, some of us, we come to the church, we read the Bible, maybe out of a habit, out of curiosity, not out of seeking and searching the truth. Verse 23. So the next day, when Agrippa and Bernice had come with great pomp and had entered the auditorium with the commanders and the prominent men of the city, at Festus' command, Paul was brought in. So actually there was like a big procession, because this meeting was for the nobles of the country. King Agrippa, his wife, and Festus the governor, with all the prominent men of the city. And actually, they entered as we read in verse 23, with a great pomp. And after everybody sat down and took their places, then Festus commanded St. Paul to come in. And here St. Paul actually will stand before all these great people, noble people, prominent people of the city, to defend himself and to make his case for his defense. Verse 24, and Festus said, there has to be like introduction. So Festus said, King Agrippa, and all the men who are here present with us, you see this man about whom the whole assembly of the Jews petitions me, both at Jerusalem and here, crying out that he was not fit to live any longer. So he explained the situation to Agrippa and all these prominent men, that according to the Jews, St. Paul was not fit to live any longer. They wanted to kill him. And again, in this speech, Festus again wanted to justify himself, wanted to present himself as a fair and unjust governor. Verse 25. But when I found that he had committed nothing deserving of death, and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I decided to send him. But why he appealed to Augustus? Because he did not release him. If you believe that nothing deserving of death, then why did not release him? Why you want to send him to Jerusalem? But again, he wants to present himself as a just and a fair and a wise governor. So he said, I'm sending him to Augustus, not because I believe he did something wrong or deserving this, but because he appealed to go to Augustus. And then he said something very interesting. He said, I have nothing certain to write to my Lord. My Lord here means Augustus, concerning him. Therefore, I have brought him out before you, and especially before you, King Agrippa. Especially before you, because you have experience in the Jewish matters and affairs. So that after the examination has taken place, I might have something to write. If he is sending him to Augustus, what would he write? He should send like a letter with St. Paul saying this is the accusation against him. But would he write, he did nothing and I'm sending him to you? So he told him, I have nothing to write against him. That's why I called you, hoping that after you examine him, we can have something to write to send about St. Paul before sending him to Augustus Caesar. Verse 27, for it seems to me unreasonable to send a prisoner and not to specify the charges against him. Of course, as a governor, he cannot send a prisoner without specifying what are the charges against him. So Festus here was seeking advice, as if he is seeking a thing to Agrippa, I'm confused, I don't know what to do, so I am seeking advice here. Festus was a new governor, so he doesn't know a lot about Judaism or the Jews' customs or the Jewish religion. That's why he was hoping that King Agrippa will help him, especially King Agrippa was a Jew by birth, and he would understand why the Jews wanted to kill St. Paul, and why there is a conflict between St. Paul and the Sanhedrin. So he might help Festus in writing some charges against St. Paul before sending him to Augustus. If we like to analyze the speech of Festus before King Agrippa, actually this speech was designed, number one, actually to build up the ego of Agrippa, telling him, especially before you, King Agrippa. So he wants to please King Agrippa. Number two, actually, to make like formal announcement that the Roman Empire is very, very fair in dealing with prisoners. So, as a Roman governor, he wants to present how fair is the Roman Empire is. And also, to present himself as a fair and just governor. And also to please the Jews, that he did not release St. Paul, but he is sending them even before the emperor to be tried. This is actually the end of this chapter, and in the following chapter, we will read about the speech of St. Paul before King Agrippa, and it's very, very powerful speech and has many spiritual lessons in it. But from this chapter, what are the spiritual lessons that we learn in this chapter? As we sit together, we knew how God protects his people and his servants. We knew how God directed the heart of Festus not to hurt St. Paul and not to accept the petition of the Jews against St. Paul to send him to Jerusalem to be killed there. Also, we discussed how nothing wrong in defending our rights and seeking legal channels to defend our rights. But at the end, whether get our right or we did not get, we should trust in the economy of God that all things work out together for good for those who love God. So at the end, we'll be happy with the outcome because we know we are in the hands of God. And nothing will happen to us without his permission. So at the end, whether we get our rights or not, we will be happy with the outcome because we trust God. And also, this chapter presented us the weakness of Festus as a person who wants to please himself, to please others, and also to justify himself, to present himself as perfect, fair, just, wise. And we should be very careful because this is a sin of pride, a sin of vainglory when we just want to defend ourselves. And he did not say the whole truth about sending St. Paul to Jerusalem. He said half of the truth in order to again present himself as a fair and unjust governor. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen. I think there are some review questions.